This year is brought to you by TurtleWeb.org.
I want to begin with a few quick thank yous. First, I want to thank Jules and Stacy Garden for sponsoring our Garden Mermelstein Published of Inspiration, which every year brings so much inspiration to our Kehilo over the course of the month of Elul and into the Esersime Tshuva as well. I want to thank them for their sponsorship of our event tonight. I want to thank TurtleWeb.org for partnering with us in bringing Rabbi Lobiansky and Rutorsky to B'nai Shurin. I want to emphasize that all of the recordings from the Torah that we hear tonight will be available on TorahWeb's website and on the app. We thank them for all the Harbazah Torah that they engage in generally and especially for their partnership tonight. In introducing Rav Aaron, I want to share with you a Gemara that appears at the very beginning of the sentence of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara at the beginning of the Zara, the celebrated Agadah, says that for Akras Ayomim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to summon various nations of the world, and he's going to ask them, quite simply, V'maya Sakta, what did you do with your time on this earth? And the nations are going to come before the Ribbono Shel'olam, and they're going to claim great accomplishments. The Romans are going to say, we built marketplaces, we built aqueducts. And why did we do it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We did it for Klal Yisrael, Kedishis Askabat Torah. We did it so that Klal Yisrael could further study and observe your Torah. And the Kodesh Baruch was going to turn to them and say, Shotin, Shabbat Masha Asita Latorah Aftah Hamasisa. He's going to say, that's not why you did it. You did it for yourselves. And then the Persians are going to come, and they're going to make similar claims. We built all sorts of infrastructure, roads, bridges, etc. We did it only to enhance your Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem is going to, again, summarily dismiss the claim. That's not why you did it. Who are you fooling? One after the other, the nations come before Hashem. They all claim they did things with the purest of motivations, only to further Hashem's Torah. And each time, Hashem gives them a reality check, informs them what their true motivations were. The Brisker Rav, among other Achronim, asks, what was the Halakhah? What did these nations actually think? That we're going to pull a fast one on the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we're going to trick him into thinking that, oh yeah, you know, really we had the purest of motivations all along? They're standing there in judgment before Hashem himself. What exactly did they think they were going to get away with? And the Brisker suggests that in truth, they were tapping into something that actually was correct. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu's standpoint, the reason why he allowed all these nations to conduct their affairs on this earth was only Bishvei Yisrael, Surah Adnesh Yisrael HaTorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his own question for why he allowed the Romans to have their moment of glory and success, why he allowed the Persians to have their moment of sovereignty and rule. It was all for Klal Yisrael. And these nations come and say, hey, look, if this was Hashem's plan all along, then maybe we could claim credit. Maybe we can claim that you know, we deserve reward for substantiating the divine plan. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, that's not how it works. Maybe that was my plan, but it wasn't yours. Now, I share this Gemara with you because I would humbly suggest that if we take the paradigm of the Gemara and just extend it a little bit further, there will come a time in Akras Hayomim when Kadosh Baruch Hu summons all the tech moguls and tech giants of Silicon Valley, all these people that contemporary society venerate and celebrate so much. And he's going to ask them, V'maya Sakta, what did you do in this world? And they're going to say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to tell you what we did. We developed websites and apps and algorithms and smartphones, and you know why we did all of it? For Yisrael Kedeshiyas Askabat Torah. So that the Torah of Rav Aaron Lapiansky can spread, so that others who never learned in Yeshiva Greater Washington can be exposed to the depth and beauty and majesty of this Torah. So that people can log on to Torah.org and access the depth of Torah from our Rosh Yeshiva, even if they never had the opportunity to learn under them directly. That's what they're going to claim. Kadosh Baruch was going to say, Shokin, that's not why you did it. And he's going to present a litany of all the havoc that they have wreaked on contemporary society, and I suspect he will demand justice to a certain degree as well. But in the spirit of the Brisker Rav, I also wouldn't be surprised if what Kadosh Baruch Hu said, even though that was never your plan, that was my plan from the very beginning. Speaking personally, I will say that despite the fact that tonight was actually the first time I ever met Rav Aaron in person, I consider myself a devoted Talmud of Rav Aaron's Torah. There's so much of Rav Aaron's Torah that I have learned from and grown from over the years, over many, many years, of really just devoted attention to his words of Torah. While the primary mode of Torah transition will always be what Chazal described as, learning at the feet of the Tamil Pavan. Rabbi Zatzel Be'ez Hashem speak about when he introduces Rutorsky and Shlita. We're zoned to live in an age when even when we're not able to do that, because if Avodah Yisrael lives 200 miles away from you, you can still be Shoset Batzama Eskvarav. You can still drink with thirst the beauty and majesty of his Torah. And again, speaking for myself, I have been a beneficiary of that Torah for a long time, and it is an immense zechus for me personally and for all of us as a kehila to have the opportunity to hear from Rav Aharon directly tonight. So without further ado, which is again an immense honor and privilege for us, to your Torah from Rav Aharon Lapiansky Shul.
I'm afraid someone will be quoting a friar that I'm responsible for the internet and everything. It might not make me so popular in some circles. So, first of all, it's very special to see a tzibur of people that come together, says Mitshuva. We heard some beautiful Divrei Torah before. People are looking, want, that's what it's about. There's a formal tefillah and the formal inyanim that Chazal was acting, that's Mikadin, and the fact that people come and they're Dorshim and Mavakshim, that's what it's about. I also would like to give a special accordion to Reb Yehuda Diamond, who's osek in being Marbitz Torahs, so dedicated. I know a little bit of it, just from a very narrow vantage point. When I get a text, it's time to write, please send in. But it's something that a person is dedicate himself to about his Torah and so on. Yashar Kochachem and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you the koyach to go Michael Chayil. One of the Yom Kippur to us, as we get older, becomes more and more difficult in the sense, been there, done that, and it hasn't worked all that much. We are sincere, we resolve to do things, and it sort of fades out. When we're young sometimes, a certain age, with the intensity of youth, we manage to do things, and people look back that they made incredible changes in their lives. As we get older, it with all sincere feelings, still, and it becomes difficult almost. You know that you want to do good, you know you want to be better, you know you want to grow, but it doesn't happen. So there's the Gemara says, Maror lo matshuva achabina. The order and the structure of Shmoneh Esrei has a very clear, it has very clear structure sequence. And tshuva comes after bina, after atachonen yavashiveinu, and the Gemara brings a pasuk fit. Dechsiv olavava yovin v'shav v'rafalo. If his heart understands and he does tshuva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merape. The simple meaning of that bina is that the person understands what's right, he understands shortcomings, and he takes the tshuva. That's the simple meaning of that Gemara, of the Pasuk. But many Rishonim point out, and I want to read Rabbeinu Yonah, he says on a Pasuk in Mishlei, Ki betachbulos tasach hamulchama. When you wage war, you need to have tactics, tricks, all sorts of cunning. So he says, Lo yitochen lasis milchama, Mibli, mivine tachbulois, you cannot wage a war without people who are cunning, no tactics. Sheyabitu v'yaskilu adrochim, sheha'oivim yochon eskavi behem. They understand how the enemy can outwit you. V'yishak molem gamhem. So whenever we think, so a person thinks he's going to wage a war, I'm going to do this, and this, and this, and this. That will never get you good results. You need someone to say, this is what I would do to counter that. We're so busy usually thinking the way we would like to think that we don't think of what the other side would do. So just like someone who's preparing for a debate, you have somebody playing the devil's advocate and sort of countering your points so that you wrestle with those points. Rabbi Yonah is pointing out, when we think of what we want to do good and right, and we get emotional about it, that's great, we're hepped up and so on. But you're not thinking about what's going to be the problems. And without thinking what the problems are, you'll never win. If you can't put yourself into your enemy's mind and shoes, then you're going to know what you want to do. But you'll always get tripped up. So the whole Sefer Mishlei is a Sefer of Chachma. The word Eitzen Tachbulus is frequently repeated. It's about understanding what are the forces in you that counter that desire to do good and how to deal with it. So what's required in order to make lasting changes in a meaningful way are understandings of where we go wrong, what happens, and trying to figure out how to get around it. It's never enough to have a very, very strong resolve and be sincere and be hepped up. We all do. But somehow it just dissipates. So understanding what happens and planning around that is a key to being able to make those changes. So I'd like to deal with three points. Almost everything can be found in Chazal Rishonim, but it takes a lot of effort to apply it to ourselves and in our situation and so on. So the first point is the resolve that we have. We have a sincere resolve, but we want it to last for a year. So our gut feeling is, our instinctive is to be more insistent. If we hear a drasha that's more fiery, if we learn chazal that are stronger, if we beat ourselves up in davening, that will produce the rutzen, the will to make it happen. Mistake. I want to say with Rabbeinu Bechaya. Rabbeinu Bechaya is in Parashas Kisavo, and he goes on the Maim of Chazal that Torah should be chaviv alecha kilu hayoyim hazeh kibalti misinai. We need to make Torah as chaviv, as beloved, as the day that we got it in Sinai. So he says, lefi shehadoros cholfim, the generations pass by. V'leiv ha'odom hoylich acha einov bedov anira. A person's heart is not objective. It is set by what greets the eye. Ki be'omdei bein einov, when something stands in front of him, yiskireno, he remembers it. Or be'istach me einov yishkechena, and when it's no longer in eyesight, he forgets it. And all these miracles will not last forever, and therefore that. So Rabbeinu Bechaya is telling us that our sense of things is not objective. It's not something where it would be like a computer program, how many times has it succeeded, how many times it didn't succeed, and we are biased towards whatever environment and situation we are. We can't look at time evenly. It's a very distorted picture. And therefore, no matter how strong a person's rotzon is, that was Yom Kippur. Sukkot is long forgotten already. And that's how we are. It's not because we did something wrong. It's a reason how people can live after trauma. People went through, my parents were survivors, and Baruch Hashem, Ashreinu, they created a wonderful generation. We had a wonderful home. Because when we were there, there was focus on us. And things, that's where we are. That's how Kadosh Baruch Hu made us. So making a very powerful, strong, emotional effort is not going to make it happen. It's, if I can give a mashal, a person has, he wants to keep a pot of water hot for Shabbos. So a childish way of doing it would be to heat up the water very, 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 very hot. Obviously water can't heat past a certain temperature, but however you'll do it with pressure, it won't stay. The right way to do it is you have a mechanism that when the water begins to cool, every so often, it begins to heat it. This was a principle that was really developed by Rabbi Saul Salamta. The Musa movement did not invent Musa. Musa was invented in Sefer Dvarim, in Nevi'im, in Ksuvim, in Gemara. Divrei Musa in Teichacha is Kolatay Rekula. That wasn't Rabbi Saul Salanta's Chiddush. Rabbi Saul Salanta had a few operational Chiddushim that were very, very important. And one of them was this point, that unless people have regular reminders, it dissipates. There is nothing we can do at any one moment to ram us into place. So Rabbi Saul had a whole system of people having special houses set aside for learning Musa, with a niggun, daily, things that are not replicable for us in our environment. But what is something that we have to take away is, unless we have set periodic times for reminding ourselves, it's not going to work. So the determination on Yom Kippur, if it's sincere, is that once a month I sit down, or once a week, or once every other week, or whatever works for a person. And I give myself 10, 15 minutes. Let's say a person decided his relationships, as was mentioned here before, with his spouse, children, neighbors, business partners, really need a serious overhaul. And he makes whatever kabbalas he makes. Refreshing and putting aside time, whatever it is, it has to be realistic, but it has to be frequent and, more important, consistent. A person sits down and says, let me remind myself again why it is that I've decided to do the following. It's something that, A, it will keep the water warm over the year. So Mekubala made Erev Hashchodesh, a Yom Kippur cotton. It means, whatever Kabbalah meaning it will have, I think the Ramak is the marker, but the point is, it's periodic, and the water is hot, it keeps it hot that way. It reheats, the water has begun to cool down. So if it's important enough to make a Kabbalah on Yom Kippur, to rethink it, and just to sit down and learn whatever it is, what it is that I need to improve on. There's, Rabbi Saul Salanta writes about learning the Musa constantly, and he points out that people don't feel they gain so much from it, they don't see this radical change, even if they learn Musa every day, people are still people. And he says something extremely insightful, worth really talking about. He says, Al yipol libay b'ra'ehu k'loy nosar shum reishim levavay. A person should not feel let down if he doesn't sense that it made impression his heart. V'yeda ne'mana, and he should believe ki hispalusay, his genuine nispal, his genuine becoming influenced by it, like also b'tayhu, has not gone to waste. There's a subconscious mark. So Rishol is telling us an accumulation of positive spiritual experiences does have a profound effect on a person. We know today, psychology, you know, there are people who've undergone an extraordinary trauma that has impaired them, but there are people that it was a steady, slow difficulties that create also something similar. This is true of Toiv. If a person periodically has something that inspires him, learns a sefer, listens to a shir, listens to someone, periodic, consistent, it does make an impression on the person. And it shapes a person. It's gradual, and we're very impatient. But the rule is things that are gradual are a lot more lasting than things that are sudden and too much. And we'll talk about that in a second. So the first point we touched on is we're motivated by, let's call it an emotion, a sincere, strong emotion. No sincere, strong emotion lasts on its own. We're made that it should cool down. That's how we survive. It also means that if we're really serious, so let's say we're deciding in Kippur, we're not going to do X or Y or Z. Part of the decision has to be, and once X amount of time, I'm going to listen to somebody I find inspiring, I'm going to learn something I find inspiring, or I'll sit down and just rethink what I'm thinking now. That is the first thing, so that I will want it a month from now to do it. I will want it 2 months from now to do it. The second point is a point that we mentioned now. And this is very akin to a physical phenomenon. One of the physiological realities of a human being is of something called homeostasis, which means our body has a tendency to keep numbers at a certain level. It keeps us alive. Sugar and oxygen and many things are in a constant state of balance. There's a borderline, not too much, not too little, and it has the right amount. It's true emotionally and psychologically as well. We get used to certain behaviors, feelings, expectations, and we very much want that. And that's why people have such a hard time losing weight. Because if a person got used to a certain amount of food, he feels deprived. And it's not logical. It's everything about him rebels against it. And it becomes increasingly more difficult. That's the way it works. It's true about every behavior. So making a change that is radically different than what a person is used to is something that can't work because it keeps meeting increased resistance. It's true about, everyone knows it, when a person tries to work on his strength, his stamina, so a person gets riled up, he runs to the gym, spends a half a day there, then he spends a week resting in bed, and then it's over with. The same thing is true with a diet. And the reason is, now, we can't do it slowly because the gratification is that we're heroes. But the only way it'll work is gradual. And the one who says it, the Vilna Gaon says in Mishlei, like we said, Mishlei is the only sefer that we have of the Vilna Gaon that has really sort of practical points. He's very brief. It's part of the challenge is he really speaks almost in Rosh HaTevis, but every point that he makes it requires thinking through. It says about Otzer Glayim Laraf, a person's feet carry him for bad. So we tend to think of it a person as running to Averis. The Vilna Gaon says no. He says, Tzorech lelech b'midos midarger ledarger k'mo holech b'sulom v'lo yikfotz l'madrega sheinu v'elo. A person, as he moves forward, needs to think of it as a ladder. He can't jump. He can't jump over a step. V'zeh otz peraglayim shekofetz l'midah gavoah asher lo lo. His intentions are great. I want to become Bikamat Chacham. I want to stop speaking Lashon Hara. I don't want to ever get upset at my spouse, my children, my parents, etc. Hu chayte v'chosem yikor l'kipol mimeni. He is going, he's a sinner because he's going to fall. The Gaon's mashal is very precise. When a person is walking, so because it's level, he can run and he can jump. But when he's climbing a ladder, the two steps above him is not in his reach. So he's trying to reach for something he can't do, and that's why he loses it, that's why he falls. On the one hand, we need instant gratification. So if I stop speaking Lashon Hara the next day, I feel like a hero. But the Gaon says he's a sinner because he's setting himself up for failure. So whatever it is that we really feel we need to change, we need to map out what are steps that are doable. And let's take a simple example, which is more relevant than yeshiva, but I just as an example, a person is sitting in yeshiva and he doesn't really learn very much during Seder. He's busy talking, hacking, schmoozing, going out, whatever it is, and he's, you know, and he feels bad on Yom Kippur. So he's mekabel on himself. Next day, morning Seder, whole morning Seder, I'll be in, not speaking words, so on and so forth. From experience, I can tell you how long it lasts. Usually it's a fraction of a Seder. That's usually what he'll list. Now, the real thing is, if he would take 5 minutes, the first 5 minutes of Seder, he's sitting and learning. And keep that even for a month. And then work up to 10 minutes and 15 minutes. Now, the reason it will work, 100%. But the reason why you won't do it is because you don't have that gratification. So what? I didn't speak. But that's our problem. We're not using seichel, we're using a lot more just hype. Every single thing there are steps small enough, as long as it falls under the bar of what the body is still used to, what the person is still used to, it can go. And then we've raised the bar a drop, and a drop more, and a drop more. And so whatever it is that we pick to work on, we focus on something that's really important, and what we do is we break it down into tiny steps and give ourselves a year to take care of it. If it's important enough, a person has on his conscience Yom Kippur, it's usually important enough to give it a year. And it will, in the beginning, it'll feel you're crawling along, but if you keep up to it, it builds and it becomes a curve. It's not a straight line. When you're sitting a half hour without hefsek and learning, and you say, wow, I never did before, and I can't even think of not talking because I've gotten used to it, and I can't even think of schmoozing, that's when you begin to feel strong about it. A third point, and this is a drashas HaRan on the beginning of Dvarim. The Ran says that Sefer Dvarim is the paradigm of perfect tochacha. He says, "Ki mi sheyirtze lahaisher is a adam sheheva bedvarma." If a person wants to straighten out things that he's done wrong, he has to do it in two ways. Ha echad mim sheyde'ehu muvasei v'chicholav. So he's talking about a person helping someone else do right. The first thing is to point out the mistake and to be mochich and to rebuke him on it. This that you're doing is wrong and bad. Then he says, the second part of it is, Haderech Hashenihu Shirdehu Shumuchan Lehasik Maile Gedolo Sheimko Mashoheve Hu Or Venirtze. The second point is that the person realized, despite the fact that he's done wrong, he is really liked and so on. What I would like to adapt it to a bit, same idea. Every Yom Kippur, and every time we try to work on ourselves, it's about beating ourselves up, which is the beginning of, but it doesn't last. Just like if you take two people, and I'll ask you, one person is in debt, or he can't make ends meet, and the other one is accumulating wealth. Who works harder and who's more inclined to work? So quote unquote logic says, well, this person has to get out of debt, this person needs it to make ends meet. This person, it's a luxury, it's extra. We all know it's not like that. And the reason is very simple. We can't work if we don't feel satisfaction and gratification. If all Yom Kippur is about is what I'm doing wrong, and every year I'm doing wrong, and whenever I think of myself doing wrong, then we're not going to go very far with it. But if a person makes an honest cheshbon, so if a person decided to work on whatever he decided to work on, and at the end of the month that we spoke about, he makes a cheshbon, how much did he accomplish? I was able, there were two or three times when I was about to blow up, and I said, calm down. That's good. It doesn't mean I'm there. But I need to be able to get a feedback that's positive that I'm doing something. It's some sort of very, very superficial understanding where if we just keep banging on the head, it's like in chinuch, the old approach was, well, we want to get the most out of him, so we'll just keep beating on what he needs to fix. No one can grow that way. You need to have the understanding of what has been accomplished and what you need to accomplish. Without having the positive feedback, it's not going to work. So you need to have the same time that a person sets aside once a month to reinforce himself why he's doing what he's doing, what he needs to do now, and what has he done right. Many times that will be as important, if not more important, to moving forward. It obviously has to be very honest, but that has to be. So let's sort of just recap the points you've made. Yom Kippur is very soon. We really, really would like to be better people. We really would like to change. We'd really like to be proud of ourselves. We've tried and tried, and it always the same thing, it fizzles out. It means because besides the heart, we need to have the seichel and the bina to be a partner in the process. We mentioned three of the points that I felt were appropriate points. One was, since to keep working on yourself and change requires the emotional desire and stamina to do it, it will never happen from the original emotion you had. Emotions are made to cool off. That's how Kadosh Baruch Hu made it. It will happen if we set aside time periodically to revisit so that a person can relearn the same Maim HaChazal. It does not have to be a brand new shmooze. The same Maim HaChazal that turned me on once again, and that was what Musa was. Musa wasn't to look for big chidushim. It was to redo and relearn the thing that turned me on. Two, so we're setting aside periodic times over the year, realistic times that I can take 15 minutes and sit with myself and ponder whatever it is that I'm doing or why I'm doing. Two, I need to map out steps that are small enough that my self doesn't resist it and push back against it. It requires, and it'll always be a sacrifice of the feeling instant gratification, but it will last. And finally, when we set aside times for sort of reviewing how it's been and what we've done, to allow the honest time for also giving ourselves positive feedback. What have we done right? Baruch Hashem, because I've decided to do this or that. This, that, the other thing, that will give us positive feedback that will give us renewed determination to move forward. Bez Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu endows with the wisdom and the ratzon to do what's right. And Bez Hashem, hopefully next Yom Kippur will also make us move forward, but with a sense of satisfaction that we've actually climbed the rung to pass Yom Kippur. And at least we now understand how you do it one rung at a time. And Hashem will give us the time to get to the top of the ladder, Bez Hashem.